Hello, friends. It's Trevor. It's Avery. It's Pat. It's the citywide special. The Eagles have won the fucking Super Bowl, baby!
Yeah.
Woo! Chiefs.
Woo, 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 That's right.
Yeah, man. Feels good. Feels good to be a champ. I mean, this week of work has been an absolute joke, I will say. Hat off Monday, obviously, win or lose, but having off on a victory Monday was perfection. And the rest of this week, having off Friday for the fucking parade has been easy. Yeah, I mean, my two brain cells were fighting real hard this week while I was plugging them numbers in.
Yeah, I mean, lucky you had off Monday. Ugh, I did not, but it's well worth it, right? It was either take off Monday and have to work the parade, or it was either work Monday and struggle through it, which a lot of people in the Delaware Valley probably did that, so they could have off for the parade, which is tomorrow. Yeah. So I think I made the right decision. Some of our other friends did not make that decision, and they're going to miss out on what's going to be an epic day tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I got both days off, so yeah. There we go.
Any excuse, really, to have a cold beer outside, enjoying some sort of Eagles fandom activity with the whole city? Sign me up. 6 a.m. whatever time. I'll be there. It doesn't matter where it is, when it is. I'll be there. What the temperature is.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty cold tomorrow, right? Yeah. Like, when I was walking over here, it's windy as hell out already.
Cold but really dry, windy, yeah. Which is good.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, it's been wet the last few days.
Yeah, yeah.
That snow the other day, that was no joke.
Yeah, it was funny, like, looking at the forecast for the week, it was like rain, and then Friday is, like, totally clear, and it's rain, and someone screenshotted that and was like, you're telling me that God isn't an Eagles fan?
Yo, pretty much, though, right? Because it's supposed to rain Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess it would have, the parade probably would have been today if it hadn't been for the forecast, but I'm glad it's on a Friday.
Yeah.
Dude, and I got President's Day off, so I'm kicking off a four-day weekend.
Man,
with the parade.
Must be nice.
I didn't even know.
Oh yeah. Hell
I took off the parade day. And then
I kind of forgot about it.
Someone at work was like, hey, you know you got off Monday too? I was like, damn, yeah, all right, I'll take that.
I wish I did. President's aren't even real. Giving,
yeah. The shortest month, I took off most of the days in this month, so I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, that's what's up, man.
Yeah, man. Super Bowl champs. Look at us.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at us. Yo. Coming full circle.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and play that clip. Yeah, coming full circle.
Yeah,
so.
If you're, an old school OG listener, you might recall that our very first episode was after the Eagles lost Super Bowl 57. So we'll take a little trip down memory lane here.
Oof. Still feels like yesterday.
I think I'm fine. I mean, I think I'm about as over it as I'm going to be able to at this point.
Eh.
Until I, you know.
It's tough to see, even like looking at coaches moving around the NFL, things like that. Just looking at the Eagles uniform, we're still like, God damn, like what could have, why?
Yeah, no, I mean that's probably like the best opportunity that they're gonna have in a long time. team is still set up very good. I'm not like, you know, Hurts is great. He'll be around for a long time, but you had to beat Daniel Jones and basically no one in the 49ers game. And and then the field was really slippery.
Yeah, I think like kind of what you said about them being as set up as well as they could, man. It was just like they had an easy schedule this year leading up to the playoffs. Playoffs, obviously, they got lucky with Daniel Jones and whoever the Niners had at quarterback. I could have been playing quarterback. But then you end up in the Super Bowl. You've got Hurts, you've got Hall of Famers and Kelce, Lane Johnson. Like, it's stacked for you for you to succeed. And then you ran into the best quarterback of our generation. Probably go down as the best quarterback of all time. You run into Andy Reid, a phenomenal coach. And, for the first half, he kind of outclassed them. But, I mean, they found a way to win. And all I could remember just after the Super Bowl was, hey, it's great that we've out there. We played a great first half, but we'll be lucky to get there again. I mean, it's kind of like the 2019 Sixers that lost on that Kawhi shot. It's just like,
okay, I think you can cut it there.
We got lucky. I mean, wow.
Yo, it's so funny how much it's changed.
What a difference 2 years, man.
2 years, man.
I know.
We're sitting here lamenting, yeah, they'll never make it again. They ran up against a better team.
They just got out-coached, out-played, out-classed. They'd probably be lucky to make it here again. I mean, the whole tone of that Eagles segment, I listened to it today, actually. We were just so morose and just downtrodden the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, if only we could have fast-forwarded 2 years.
Well, I think as a franchise, too, right? Like, it took, you know, however long it took to get the first ever Super Bowl win as well, right? We got that little taste of like, oh, my God, that's how amazing it feels. And, you know, there was a decent-sized gap between that win and when we first lost to the Patriots in 2004-05 season. So, like, you know, yeah, we had a great run. We thought this is it. But you're seeing the dynasty being built in Kansas City. You're like, ah, that never happens to the Eagles or any Philadelphia team, really. Maybe sans the Phillies. But even that didn't really perspire to what we thought it would be in terms of wins. But this team, they surprise us all. They go back. They have a little, you know, edge to them. I mean, the additions of, you know, I mentioned it in that, right? In that the first episode, we're like, oh, man, the carousel of coaches. But, you know, you fast forward 2-3 years and we're on the upside. We got Vic Fangio back now. We got Kellen Moore. Obviously, he's gone now. But for this season, it helped. Saquon Barkley, another addition of Zach Baugh and other free agents that we didn't think about at that time. So it's funny how quickly the NFL can change in terms of dynamics of your team.
Yeah, I mean, people have always said that the NFL stands for not for long, right? And we weren't down for that long. We had one down season.
Yep. And I mean, even the year before, after that, obviously the big blunder at the end, but we bounced right back. I mean, they, you know, you talk about having an easy season to get into the playoff run, to get to the Super Bowl. That season after that, we had a very strong season, and we did very well for the teams that were really good in that little, you know, meat of the schedule.
The gauntlet.
Until we fucked it up at the end, but we don't have to revisit that again. But then you come back again the year after that, and bam, you're back, and you beat the dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, I think to a man, a lot of the players and coaches have said they learned a lot from last year.
They learned,
and obviously they learned a lot from 2 years ago losing in the Super Bowl because they came out and took no prisoners in this game.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess to start, I don't know, like, how are you guys, like, feeling leading up to this game?
I'll tell you, I think I said it last week or 2 weeks ago whenever we did the last pod, is that, like, I could not tell you what score. I could not get that wrapped around my head. I could not predict how it was going to go. I did feel good about us winning. I did not see a just complete all-around dominance. I thought maybe it would be defensive-minded game, right? You got Spags against this young up-and-coming D with Vic Fangio trying to prove himself on the biggest stage. Or it could have been a shootout similar to Foles and Brady, right? You got Hurts trying to, you know, I can throw the ball 300 yards with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Mahomes, the inevitable KC wheel of offense with Andy Reid. But if you had told me the night before that we were going to just bring that belt out and fucking beat the shit out of them, I didn't, this took me by surprise.
Yeah. I mean, like, the rational part of my brain kept telling me myself that it's like, look, like, go through every position group. Like, we're better here, we're better here, we're better here. Like, there's no reason why if we execute, we shouldn't come out and win this game. But you just had that, like, nagging feeling that it's like, it's Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, it's the Super Bowl. Like, they always just figure out a way to win the game. Like, leading up to the game, I mean, I've never been this anxious about a game in my entire life.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Not the World Series, not the last Super Bowl, not certainly not the one in 2018. I mean, I was in the Uber on the way to your house, and I was like, I was just sitting there, and, like, I didn't want to, like, say anything because I didn't want to, like, freak Spruha out, but I was just like, in my mind, I was like, I might actually be on the verge of a panic attack right now. Like, I actually feel horrible right now. Like, I felt so bad, and I finally got, and I was like, it'll be, you know, like, once I get the Pats place, I'll be like with a bunch of people, you know, around all my friends. It'll be nice. That'll be nice. That'll calm me down. And it's like, nope. I got here. I was just like,
everybody else was antsy.
Like, yeah, I just got here and I'm just like, maybe I should just go in the bathroom and make myself throw up before the game starts. And I could just, like, level myself out a little bit. But yeah, no, then just, you know, had to get a couple beers and then I was feeling okay.
Yeah, so
and,
we're
once the game starts, it's like it was just, you know, the nerves just disappeared and never came back.
Yeah, so where I was at was Sunday morning. So here's the deal, first of all, right? So yeah, Friday night, I'm tired as hell. I get really high and just like, all right, I got to calm my nerves. So I got to get really high and I ordered Burger King. I was sitting there eating a Whopper and some onion rings, a milkshake. I'm like, okay, I forgot all about the Super Bowl. I'm so focused on just grubbing down. I got the munchies, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So then I wake up Friday night in the middle of the night after the high wears off. It's like 2 a.m. I can't really sleep. I roll over. I go back to bed. It's like 6 and I'm just up. And I can't stop thinking about the Super Bowl. Can't stop thinking about it. It's going through my mind. You came over to pick the crock pot up at 8 or 9. I'd already been up for 4 hours.
Yeah, it was early.
Pacing the house, making breakfast, playing video games, trying to do anything to keep myself just distracted, right? So then I ran some errands Saturday. I come home, kind of go through the same thing again, get really high. I think I'm watching the Sixers, and they're blowing it epic. Oh, no, that was Friday. They blew it epically. We're not going to talk about them today, though. But whatever I was watching Saturday, was I watching the Flyers? I don't remember. I think I was watching the Flyers. And I'm like, okay, the Flyers won. They beat the Penguins, which I was happy about. I think they won that game. Anyway, so then same thing. I go to bed nice and early. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. Nope. Wake up at 6 a.m. again on Sunday, and I'm just wired.
Yep.
Yeah. Wired. So then Dave was on the pod last week. Shout out Dave. Shout out to Sep the Daddy, Bozo, if you will. He hits me up. He's like, yo, come over. Let's drink and watch Super Bowl 52 and Super Bowl 57. So I go over to his house. We do a couple shots, have a beer or two. Then he says, yo, we got to put on Super Bowl 57. We got to face our demons if we're going to overcome this today. I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. Spag scares me. I ain't scared about Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Think our defense is going to handle him. I think our offense is going to be able to do a little something. But Spags, man, he's a schemer. I don't know what he's going to do. Dave's like, nah, man, you got to do it. We got to face our demons. We got to overcome it. So we borrowed ourselves to watch the highlights. I'm so glad we did. Because then right after that, I was like, okay, the revenge tour is on, baby.
Yeah, man.
We're coming for that ass. And even last week when we did the pod, I predicted a 2-score game. I didn't predict us being up 37-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah, I mean, it was just... To your point, too, like I got terrible sleep the whole week before, but I think a combination of both were like I wasn't restless because I was nervous. I was just so excited to see the game.
Right.
Right. You're anxious about, like, to your point, Trevor, like, yeah, across the board, we should dominate this game. Right. Every position group is we're better at all of them. We're younger. We're stronger. They've played better. We got the number one defense, number one rushing offense. Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts. Like, what, you know. It's all going in our favor. But to your point, you know, that creeping in of Kansas City and continuity and being there 3 years in a row is all that. But, yeah, man, it was just great to see. Just a sheer ass-kicking. I mean, that one bad call in the beginning, right? 4th and 2, the A.J. Brown catch, beautiful catch.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Ticky-tacky little, you know, offensive pass interference. Even Brady was like, I don't like that. But we got that. We got a familiar call. You know, we got that call back.
Yeah, we got a makeup call.
You know, so that we got that makeup call with.
I don't know how much of a makeup call that was.
It
seemed pretty soft.
Dude, he gets hit right in the head.
Yeah, but watching the sound that like the mic'd up version, you know,
it didn't seem like he defenseless?
I mean, I don't know. He's not
like
that.
I mean, yeah, I guess by letter of the law it was illegal, but also you could make the case that like AJ like kind of like grabbed his face mask a little bit on that. One
ticky tacky, but they were both ticky tacky.
The AJ one was more ticky tack, in my opinion. Fine.
Listen, the fact was the only major call that was like whatever, they put it on the rug. Shout out to the refs, I will say. They did play a very fair game from what I could tell.
They let them play for the most part.
They let everybody play. But yeah, just came out. Good for Vic Fangio, honestly. Get that monkey off his back as well, like Steve Young says. It was just pure joy. I don't think I've ever watched a Super Bowl or an Eagles game with that much pressure on it that I was just so happy the whole entire time.
I know. You know what I really love about this game, looking back at it, that you know who really enjoyed watching this game? Eagles fans. You know who else really enjoyed watching this game? Nobody. Yeah. Like, absolutely no one else besides Eagles fans.
No, I would beg to differ on that.
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Here's who else enjoyed watching that game, right? Bills fans.
Okay, yeah. You know people who just really, really
Ravens
hate
fans. Sure, you know what I'm saying?
But like, so people that were just like, I just want to see a good game. Like,
most casuals,
But it just felt like a game that was just for us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the place sounded like a home game, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean we took over that stadium.
Yeah, the week of preparation, all that shit. You're watching Mike Jarrett getting all fucked up on Bourbon Street and doing some weird shit. But, like, the place sounded rocking for all. I mean, watching that mic'd up version, even the other replays of Cooper DeGene and all the other languages running that back, the place went nuts.
Yeah, the place, like, erupted when he got that
pick. I mean, there's just complete demoralization of the Kansas City Chiefs. Fuck Andy Reid, fuck Pat Mahomes, fuck Travis Kelce, fuck Donald Trump. Yeah. It was just great to just beat the fucking brakes off a team on the biggest stage. Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I thought we were going to win. To blow them out like that, dude, it was just funny. There were several times during that game, starting with the Jahan Dotson catch.
Oh, my God.
Where I just started cracking up.
It's like shout out Dave.
Dave called that. Yeah. Dave really called that. Bozo's best bets. He called a couple.
Bozo nailed it.
He called Goddard. He called Eagles' money line, Gainwell. He called Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave was like white on rice with all that shit. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was just – there were so many moments in that game where I was just laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Milton Williams, I mean, I bet Milton Williams anytime sack, he got two sacks.
Yep.
I started dying when he got the second one. I'm like, damn, this is hilarious. Or the Cooper DeGene interception, the pick six, I just started cracking up.
Yep.
I didn't know how to react.
Well, after those two sacks, I said, let's get a pick here. I told you, I looked at you and Dave, I said, we're getting a pick right here. And then, I mean, I didn't say pick six, but I was like, pick right here. Bang. It's just, it just felt like it was meant to be. And it was incredible to watch. There's very few games that you could watch where things just click. You know, they always talk about three phases of the game. Everyone's doing well, this and that. Cooper DeGene gets a pick six. First interception for an Eagles player in a Super Bowl. I mean, Jalen Hurts revenge tour. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. doing the fucking Trotter Axeman shit.
Yeah, that was so cool, man.
That was awesome, dude. Ugh. It just...
The return of BG. He only had one tackle. Mm-hmm. He drew a hold. His presence was felt, though. He made Mahomes jump out of the pocket a couple times.
Yeah.
Six sacks with zero blitzes.
Dude, that was wild.
That was crazy.
You know, the other thing is, too, is they didn't change a whole lot of the game plan, right? So the Eagles all season were a heavy zone defense team. They would play some man, but it was mostly zone. And you know what? The whole game, they only played two snaps of man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So they danced with the girl that got them there, man. No blitzes, or very seldom did they blitz during the regular season. No blitzes in this game. Man, very little man coverage, a lot of zone, and a lot of just relying on your front four, just letting your horses go to work. Jalen Carter, he was held in check because they were doubling him all the time, but you end up with Josh Sweat having Travis Kelce trying to block him.
Right.
Travis Kelce, even when he was like 5 years younger, he's not blocking a D end. Mm-hmm. Hell no. You end up with there were a couple times they tried to chip with a tight end or a running back, and that just put the end, like Josh Sweat or Jalix Hunt, in better position.
Dude,
they chipped
Jalix
him right
Hunt
into
was
Mahomes.
Killing it too. Shout out Jordan Davis, too, getting a sack in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he had one in the NFC Championship game. He's starting to live up to that first round pedigree.
I watched that replay of that. He was double teamed and didn't move.
Yeah.
He
just let Mahomes run into him.
Yeah, but he, you know, they hiked the ball. He moved forward for about a yard or two. But he never got pushed back.
Yeah.
Two full-ass grown men on Jordan Davis, and then Mahomes ran into that pile, and he took them all down. I mean, it's just, you know, he's not going to be the explosive off-the-ball guy like Carter will be, but you better have your two biggest boys up there trying to block Jordan Davis, because next year, I think, as well, he could have a really good pop-off year. But it was just great to see all those young guys eat. That one clip where you see Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, and Jordan Davis in the front, it's like that – Bulldog defense from 2020, 2021, whenever they all played and won the championship. Like, it's crazy how amazing they're playing at the highest level then in college and at the highest level in the NFL too, and still producing.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, when we were looking at Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith in the draft, people were like, yeah, well, you already have Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean and Keely Ringo. Let's make it to Georgia Bulldogs. I know, I kind of dumped all over them. I'm like, yeah, why the hell is that going to matter?
Almost felt like too many.
Yeah, right? And it's just like, yeah, they played together in college. Big Wolf. Who the hell cares?
And that defense was historic.
Oh, it was really good.
Bulldogs, yeah.
But, like, you don't expect their play to translate to the NFL that way. But it has, right? Like, all these dudes are so tight-knit, and they just really understand each other's tendencies and their chemistry. And you have three of them on the D-line together, right? And that D-line was feasting. So, yeah, it clearly means a lot, and it's worth something. Obviously, having a genius like Fangio makes a big difference too, right?
Well, having that Bulldogs in the locker room was a lot better than having all those Florida guys in the locker room. I'll tell you what, though. they tried doing that shit too when everybody tried drafting all the guys from the Florida games, and they all didn't really pan out that way. But, you know, Georgia, you know, was it Kirby Smart, whatever the coach is down there that had them all down there for a while? Like, they're doing it right, whatever they're doing in that little run that they had, because they are playing their ass off, and it's just so great to see all these young guys mixed with the vets that we have, with Brandon Graham getting a second ring and Lane Johnson getting a second ring. Ah.
No, it's exciting. A beautiful thing. Yo, about, since we're speaking about the defense, yo, so in that clip that we just played from the OG episode of the pod, I'm talking about how we're facing the best quarterback and head coach of our generation. And I still think that they are.
I don't think you can say that technically, because our generation does include,
I guess it includes Bill Belichick and Brady.
And I think this game probably took a stamper back. Maybe not for Reed, because there's always, you know, I mean, he's not playing, you know, people don't really care about the GOAT coach all the time. But as a quarterback, I feel like they care about that conversation. I think that this probably set back a little bit of the time frame of what we can GOAT Pat Mahomes. I think it's still all that goes to Brady.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you bring up a good night for Tom
you
Brady.
You bring up a good point. Brady's still technically our generation. Let's call it the last 5 years. Best quarterback coach of the last five. Whatever.
Sure. My point, they're the most recent NFL dynasty.
The point I'm trying to make is, I mean, they've dominated the league for much of the last 5 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this stat was from Shiel Kapadia, right? So through three quarters, Mahomes was 539th out of 553 quarterback performances this year, and expected points EPA? Expected points added per play. So, yeah, I mean, an efficiency stat, the best quarterback in the league the last 5 years running was one of the worst quarterbacks all season. And it's just because of that defense. I mean, Fangio, we had Johnny Gans, right? We had a facsimile of the Fangio defense last year with Desai as well. And it didn't work. But now when you get the OG in here, he done turned things around. He had this one quote, yo. He had this quote at the start of training camp this year. Let me find this. He straight up said to the players, "It's not your fault you don't work hard." So then he taught them how to work hard and look at the results. Yeah. These dudes were all balling. Like that Cooper Jean pick six. Yo,
they were leveling guys.
Right? But yeah, even before they would like Cooper Jean pick six, Quinion Mitchell had a nice stop on a flat route. Cooper Jean had one. Right, but the pick six is so sick because it's, what do you call it, cover four. It's quarters where it's the four guys deep, and Cooper DeJean's the underneath defensive player. And typically, that underneath defensive player is probably going to travel a little bit. He's going to drop back more than Cooper DeJean did. But Cooper DeJean, like, read the play perfectly, and he makes a great read. Smart, athletic, intelligent, playing hard, able to jump the route. Mahomes didn't even see him, catches it, and then he's gone. And my favorite part about it wasn't the pick, it's how many guys are blocking for him. These aren't offensive linemen and, you know what I'm saying, like receivers. These are defensive guys. They aren't used to blocking, but they're throwing blocks all over the place to help him get in the end zone. And that chain, that play, that score, that isn't when I knew we were going to win, but it really changed the complexion of the game.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, Super Bowl 57, we go into halftime up 10 points. So if that had been the same thing this time, you're not going to be like feeling that great yet. It'd be right. Like, okay, that's nice. Like, let's hope we don't fuck it up again this time. But like, if it weren't for those two turnovers in the first half, we very well could have been going into the half 10-0 or 10-7 or some shit. Like,
yeah,
those turnovers were enormous.
I mean, very reminiscent of like the Patrick Robinson one, right, where you go down 7-0 against Minnesota. You're like, ah, shit. Then Minnesota starts driving the ball again that year. You're like, oh, my God, this sucks. And then you get the pick six. And when the defense scores, even a turnover is great, whatever. A couple sacks are really good. But when the defense gets a pick six or a fumble return for a touchdown, whenever they get seven, it makes the whole – it demoralizes the offense on the other side of the ball. It just invigorates the whole rest of the team that gets that touchdown. I mean, that was a – huge turning point in the game.
Yeah.
Especially against Pat Mahomes.
Dude.
And to have it be a rookie on his birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah, what? Shout out to him. What a birthday present.
Man.
But then also, even the two plays before that, we sacked him on back-to-back plays.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Two sacks and a terrible throw. But I will say, this was one of his games where you could see the transition though of Pat Mahomes. Like the second half, he was a lot more quick and deliberate and aggressive with his throws. First half, he was very conservative and tried to do too much of like, I don't know if he's baiting guys to chase him or what, but like he looked.
Oh, when he did that stupid run around and backwards. Yeah,
like, you know, like that works in the regular season against fucking Atlanta, but.
Yeah. I mean, their first series that he almost got picked off.
Yeah. Dude.
I mean.
And sacked. He almost got a 13-yard loss sack.
He threw Jalen away. Carter hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just.
One of my favorite things is they picked up a first down on their first play from scrimmage. Their only first down the whole first half.
Yeah.
They didn't pick up another first down till like the third play of the set.
They didn't cross the 50-yard line till the third quarter.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. With 3 minutes left, 240 minutes left. Like, it's just, you know, even going into the halftime, right? What was it? 27-0, 24-0?
24-0 at half, yeah.
I was still like, okay, they get the ball back. Like, there's a chance that maybe they start off hot and they go, now it's 24-7 and we start blundering. You know, we all saw that. New England Atlanta game where nobody's safe 23-0 right. or whatever
28-3
it happens but and they referenced it in the mic'd up version. They're like, hey, the Patriots did this shit, but I mean this defense did not let history repeat itself at all. They just kept the pedal to the metal. They just kept beating that ass and it was great to see. I mean, wow, what an unbelievable game of football.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that the Chiefs, like, they didn't really seem to have much of a game plan. Like, their game plan, hold on, they had one on offense. It was to stop Saquon. On defense, it was to stop Jalen Carter. But they didn't pivot, right?
Yeah.
So they came out to start the second half.
Yep.
And nothing changed. They just came out here and were like, all right, yeah, we're still going to double team Jalen Carter. We're not going to let him beat us.
Right. But
they on didn't offense, let, they were saying, yeah, we're still going to stop Saquon. We're not going to let him beat us. But, yeah, they just didn't adjust.
Which... I mean, yeah, going into the second half, you kind of figured, like, all right, this is probably going to close up a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. I feel – obviously, you feel great that we're up by fucking 24 points, but you figure, you know, they're going to make some changes. They're going to make some adjustments. They might tag us for a couple touchdowns to open up this half, and just – they just
– they didn't. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, you pair that with then Hurts coming out here. He's like, all right, like, we're doing whatever. We get a field goal. And then you just put the dagger with Devontae Smith right down the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as they lined up, Dave Case and I looked at each other. We were like, man, it's ISO on the top. It's man-to-man. I think he's going deep. And bam, right down the pipe.
Yeah.
Best deep ball. He is arguably one of the best deep ball throws in the NFL right now. I don't care what anyone says about Jalen Hurts. I think think this game is his, like, fuck you to every single person. Honestly, analyst, media person, most fans, I would say as well. Like, Jalen Hurts.
Steven Ruiz.
He is the man. Nick, he is right? The guy.
These guys, yeah. But, yeah, let's talk about the offense then. Yeah, let's talk. Really, when we talk about the offense, yeah, we mostly are talking about Hurts, right? Because they bottled Saquon up.
Rightfully so.
You know what I mean? And yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't want him to go off. I mean, he went off every game in these playoffs, right? So they said, yeah, we're going to stop him. We're going to make Hurts beat us. And yeah, I mean, Hurts didn't really showcase that ability to beat teams with it because he didn't really need to. And again, I'll go back to the play calling. A lot of it, they didn't allow him to.
Right.
Right. But I think Dave brought this up last week and it was a very valid point, is that they were saving some of this stuff for when it matters.
And yeah.
I mean, I think that once they saw the Chiefs objective, those first couple drives, we tried to run it a lot, wasn't really working out. They saw that the Chiefs' main goal was to stop Saquon, and they shifted. They said, okay, Jalen, take what the defense gives you. Be aggressive when you need to be aggressive, and he did a phenomenal job, man. And the people that are saying, yeah, like Jalen Hurts isn't much of a quarterback. He's a running back that sometimes throws. They can kiss my ass on Broad Street, dude. Some of these plays he was making, even from the start of the game, the A.J. Brown throw.
Oh, my God.
Even though, it's a penalty. Probably shouldn't have been perfect throw. The Jahan Dotson throw.
Yep.
On the mic'd up. He's right before that play. He's like, let's go, Jahan.
Yep.
He knew in his mind the whole time where he's going with that ball. Throws it right on a dime to him. The Goddard play in that first drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even that Saquon Barkley one. I mean, Saquon redeemed himself by catching it, but him falling down and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that was a hell of a throw on the run, scrambling.
Right on his numbers like that, falling down and giving Saquon a chance to catch that shit. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, and then when he had to run, he broke his own record.
Dude, some of those scrambles in the third quarter,
he broke it by 2 yards.
Those were back-breaking scrambles, too.
First ever, I forget the whole stat line here, but he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have the stat line that he had. 200-plus passing yards with 70-plus completion percentage with, I don't know, 60-plus rushing 70, yards.
I think it's 70-plus yards.
Yeah, 70-plus yards.
He gets 72 rushing yards.
Two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. I mean, what more – what more do you want from the man?
So
he's like.
So here's what the people are gonna say, and again, I don't agree with them at all. But these are what the people are gonna say. So he only threw for 221 yards. It's like, bitch, my ass. He ran for another 70.
Right.
If he threw for 293 yards, you wouldn't be saying anything.
Right. Yeah. And all that tush push shit could kiss my ass too. Like, yeah, his one rushing touchdown was from a yard, but the other 71 yards that he ran. I mean, a lot of those QB draws
those
and design
scrambles
runs
were huge.
He was
dude.
Killing them left and right. That second half was huge.
Those runs.
Yeah, he was just on one. I have this Jeffrey Lurie quote actually. Jeffrey Lurie said this about Hurts. It's wild it was wild to read this the other day. Let me find it.
About when they drafted him?
So no, going into the game. So this is Jeffrey Lurie. Going into this game, it was the least of my worries. I knew he would play great, just as he did 2 years ago. You worry about almost everything. That's one thing I didn't even worry about. I just said, we got the quarterback. He's 26, incredibly clutch. He knows what correlates with winning. Sometimes it's through the ground game. Sometimes it's through the passing game. You got to be able to do both. They did a really good job against Saquon today, but Jalen's a great thrower of the football, a quick decision maker when he needs to be, and he has the clutch gene. That's the what do you call this, the owner of the team.
Yep.
Saying this about the franchise quarterback, man, who cares what some of these analysts of Steven Ruiz has to say? Right?
It doesn't
have fun with Justin Herbert, you fucking nerds.
Yeah. Have fun with Justin Herbert. I mean, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow are all great. Whether they not, what does Hurts have that they don't? It's two Super Bowl appearances and one Super Bowl ring, right?
And a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, and an MVP.
You can kiss that MVP fucking. Shove that shit up your ass, too. Doesn't matter. He got that as a gimmick, too, Josh Allen. All respect.
I mean, it should have gone to Lamar.
Yeah, it should have went to Lamar. Yeah, but know what? Josh Allen, go for it. Have your little consolation MVP. But the real MVP right here, Saquon Barkley, obviously. And Jalen Hurts getting that Super Bowl MVP. It's just, you can't make everybody happy. And he handles it so well. And he shows out on the biggest stages. Even that Super Bowl loss, the first go around.
That's right. That's what Jeffrey
Lurie's
saying.
He played his
fucking
ass off. All his out college career as a true rookie, 12-0, brought Alabama to the championship game. You know what I mean? Like, the guy is just a stud.
Yeah, but people love to bring up when he got benched.
That's fine. That's okay.
It's
part of his trajectory, and that's okay. But, like, it was all meant to be. And he's got all the quotes to say what he wants to say. And the dude is on some MJ shit right now for sure because he is spitting out a lot of shit.
I had a purpose before anyone had an opinion. That's one of my favorites.
He's ready for this moment. But I'm so happy that he can finally, you know, say that he's a, you know, they ran up to him like, oh, you're the Super Bowl MVP. He goes, I'm a champion, man. Like,
yeah.
Forget the MVP. Like, we finally did that shit. And they're hungry for more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the team's young. Most of the guys, they're going to be – most of the offense is returning everyone except Becton.
Which
could come back.
They should bring him back. I mean, you're going to have to hope for probably
–
We can get into that maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about that today. But
I think that it's just – it's great to see the big picture come together, right? Like, I remember watching a draft day and we, like, traded that first-round pick to get A.J. Brown. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. Like, I knew they were boys and all this, but – watching all the small clips of everybody talking to each other during the game the game.
When it started was Devontae.
Yeah.
I was here. We were watching Devontae get drafted upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Hurts and Devontae played on that Alabama team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it goes, like, way back.
First Alabama receiver to catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Devontae Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
A weird random snap.
That's surprising.
Isn't that nuts?
That's wild.
The guys that ever got drafted.
Yeah, and Alabama's had some stud receipts. Damn,
mm-hmm.
That's insane.
First one in his home state. Shout out to Devontae Smith, too.
Yeah.
He shows up phenomenally in the playoffs.
Yeah, speaking of big game players, that guy's in a lot of big games. Devontae's shown up. The numbers may not always be there, but he always comes through with a big catch.
Oh,
that,
my God.
That catch through contact.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a receiver bearing down on his arm, holds onto that ball, hitting the ground. Nah, Devontae's the man. I mean,
that was his revenge tour back in the Superdome, because that's when he got fucking spit on, too. First game back after
that. Yeah, when he got concussed.
Yeah.
Yep. Which was this season. Crazy. Yep. That's crazy to think. But, nah, man, shout out to the whole team, the offense, the defense. Yo, I think also, we got to give Sirianni his flowers, yo.
Yeah, man. I've never been more happy to be wrong, I will say that.
Like, yeah, Marlon and Dino, I know they listening.
Yeah.
They've been trying to tell us for months. Sirianni's the truth. He's the GOAT. I don't know if I'd go as far as say he's the GOAT, but Sirianni deserves a lot of respect right now, man.
Yeah. I mean, the end of last season, I was firmly on the Fire Sirianni train. And even this year, I think I said that I thought we were in Doc Rivers territory with Sirianni. Mm-hmm.
It got dark for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Say what you want about him, but it's like the players on that team clearly love the guy. They love playing for him. And, I don't know. Like, I can't really tell you, like, all the shit that he does with, like, the X's and O's and this and that. But that guy is clearly, like, a fucking leader of men. And, like, he fucking wins. And he won the fucking Super Bowl. Like, what more can you ask? Like,
I mean, yeah. I think his biggest weakness, you know, we all talk about it sucks Jalen Hurts having all these different coordinators, but I'm kind of over that dialogue as well, because that's been his whole career since high school. So, like, it's almost like his strength. Like, he can deal with a different coordinator every year. He's never had the same one since, like, high school. So, like,
it's not ideal.
So, yeah, but at one point, is it like, well, we've never seen him have the same one 2 years in a row, so maybe that one's going to suck. Like, maybe Kellen Moore comes back and he, like, can't do it. I don't know. As a hot take, but Sirianni, to the same point, has had to deal with different coordinators too, coming in and out, managing the team and things like that. And for what it's worth, he is that guy. He's great at that. Now you got Vic Fangio locking up defense. You're going to worry about that at all. They're playing out their mind. All you got to do is get guys in line. It's a young team, young core. Keep them in check. Keep them together. And that's what we're talking about. We said that last year, 2 years ago when they lost. Continuity is the biggest strength, I think, in the NFL. And if we can keep these guys together and in lockstep, get the same mission in mind, the same goal, and keep them on the straight and narrow, then we got ourselves the next coach for the next maybe 5, 8 years, 10 years here.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sirianni's going to be around for a while yet, right?
Like, yeah.
When we first hired him, I didn't hire him. Jeffrey Lurie, when the Eagles hired him, Jeffrey Lurie said, yeah, we're excited about the coach you are and the coach you're going to become. Now, I mean, I think Jeffrey Lurie understood, this is the coach that he's going to become. A Super Bowl winning coach that defines a play personality, that doesn't meddle too much in the X's and O's except for when he has to, but gains the respect of his players, mm-hmm. knows how to garner the respect of his assistant coaches, and really just knows how to set a tone for a team. One of my favorite things, right, is this mantra that he's been saying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That all the players after the game, you heard them all saying this, right? It is, you can't be great without the greatness of others.
Yep.
And Sirianni's always been saying, football is the ultimate team game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that quote's a reflection on. Like, Saquon can't be great without the offensive line. Hurts can't be great without the offensive line.
Yep.
A.J. Brown can't be great. Devontae can't be great without Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On defense, the defensive linemen aren't getting all those sacks, so the coverage isn't good. Zach Bond's not that good if the defensive linemen aren't eating up all those blocks, right? So
you ain't lying.
It's such a good quote, and, like, I don't know, he defines the play personality. This team's energetic, they're spunky, they're aggressive. When we were just watching the mic'd up, you said, the Chiefs sidelines, but why do you think that is? Spags, I mean, for the X's and O's guy that he is, he's not defining play personality. Andy Reid's like 70 years old. There were definitely days when he would define it, but he ain't like that no more.
I think the NFL, too, is just more of a personality league now, too, right? Like, people want to see guys be animated and have fun and be energetic. And, you know, you watch a good play any other sideline, whether it's Andy Reid or Bill Belichick, right? They don't really have a lot of emotion most of the time. What we used to criticize, I think, watching Nick Sirianni be so animated all the time, like he's a fan on the sideline, look corny and stupid at first, but when you take a step back and realize what it means to the guys that he's doing that with, maybe we missed all that. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I did love watching that clip of Sirianni from after last year's game against the Chiefs, where he's like going in the locker room, he's like, what exactly? He was like screaming.
What are you going to say now? Yeah, about that Chiefs fans?
Just like,
it aged well, I guess.
Yeah, it just needed some time. Last January, it didn't age well, but fast forward to this January, this February, it aged real good.
So, you know, I think it was just a good, it was nice to see the team on the sideline after every big play, just be like, let's all take a deep breath real quick. And they would do that in unison. And I think that's what the team, Nick Sirianni, if he could be the guy that just makes them take a deep breath after every play or every game, that's all we need him to do. Yeah. And it's been working. You got youthfulness. You got Jalen Hurts doesn't need a coach to teach him how to be quarterback. The guy is, I don't think he can get any calmer. Yeah. He can't
he's
get
like in
any,
his own universe.
Yeah, he'll be sedated. Yeah. He'll be knocked out if you get, like, his heartbeat is already as low as it can go. Like, he is good to go. And you got Vic Fangio. I don't know if Dave said this or we all said it too, but like the new Jim Johnson of the Eagles defense.
I think we all agreed on that. We got him
until he's dead. So we don't have to worry about the defense at all until he gets cancer one day and passes away in 10, 15 years.
Don't be talking about that. What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, inevitably.
We're not trying to be all dark right now.
That's just inevitable. I'm just saying, we got at least 15 years with this guy.
Stop.
We're all mortal.
I'm just saying.
Well, don't be bringing. We just won the Super Bowl. I'm sitting here talking about people dying and getting cancer.
Eventually, I'm not saying this year.
Don't speak that into existence.
I'm just saying. I see the way the man
eats. If he gets pancreas cancer this week,
if he keeps hanging
I'm
out the Fladium,
blame you.
If he keeps drinking the Fladium, eating that shit, he will get cancer one day. So yeah, I'm just I'm playing. But
yo,
my point is that
now the Fladium's going to be all mad at us too. What the hell is wrong with you?
I'm just playing.
Oh my god, so adios mio.
We're good to go that way. So I think we have a good thing building here, and I really think that we have a chance to at least make a solid push, knowing how bad it feels to lose, how good it feels to win. Having experienced that shitty season in between, like, this team has a chance to really actually be something great.
I mean, after the, you know, Super Bowl 52, as awesome as that was, and, like, I don't think anything's ever going to match that, but afterwards, you're like, well, if we're being honest, that was, like, definitely a little fluky. Just a little bit. And, you know, you're like, yeah, I mean, we still have, like, at the time, it was like, you know, you hope Wentz comes back and he'll come back well from that injury. That didn't happen. And, you know, it was like, they have some pieces, blah, blah, blah. They should be okay. But it's like, you didn't really think that they were, like, this emerging powerhouse. Mm-mm. But this team, I mean, so many of these players are so young. I mean, they're, like, that whole defense practically, a lot of the pieces on offense. You know, it's like they're set up really well, and I don't see any reason why they couldn't be back there next year or the year after or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think after Super Bowl 52, a lot of those guys you knew weren't going to be around for that much longer, right? You had, like, Brent Celek was on that team, you know what I'm saying? Jason Peters was on that team, even though he was injured again like he always is.
For even LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, they were gone that next year. Like,
Jay
Ajayi's
knees
room.
Were torn up, you know what I'm saying? The receivers, we had Alshon. Who got the job
Justin
done.
Aguilar.
But, like, him, Aguilar, Torrey Smith, none of them are game changers. You know what I mean? Defensively, we had Jenkins, who was around for a few more years, playing at a high level. I mean, Ronald Darby ended up being washed pretty shortly thereafter.
I don't know, like, the corners we had really were anything special. Yeah, it was.
That 2017 team, it was built entirely on the strength of, you had Doug, who at the time was this hotshot new coach. You had Wentz, who, even though he tore his ACL, had been playing at MVP level, and that was it. And that game was a lot closer, right? Like,
I mean that was a shootout.
And I'm not taking anything away from that team. I still think if I were to compare the two playoff runs, I still like that one more. I'm probably in the minority on that, but
probably like the magic of it more because
So here's the deal. Here's why I say that. It's the first one.
Right.
It's the first Super Bowl.
All right. That's why. You can never touch that again.
And it's all with a backup quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean,
you're an underdog in every game.
No, you can't write that. Like if you were a Hollywood screenwriter and someone like hired you to like, yeah, we want you to write a script about the Eagles winning their first Super Bowl and you turned in that, they'd be like, oh, okay, come on, you're playing up the Rocky thing a little too much here.
Right.
This is a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was just like completely unfathomable. That's never going to be matched.
So here's what I'm going to say is that was more like a storybook, whereas this team, it was kind of like a dream, but it was more realistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense. I mean, we all said it here multiple weeks. We expected greatness from this team, right? And they didn't prove us wrong at all. So
yeah,
that was a more of a surprise run where you were just happy to be there. Everyone was like, all right, we're going to the next game. All right, we're going to the next game. Oh, now we got Tom Brady Super Bowl. Like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it was like the difference was in the 052 run, everyone was doubting us, but for legitimate reasons.
Yeah.
It was like we had a backup quarterback. Yep. Like, you know, our like MVP candidate quarterback went down.
So our left tackle was torn as an Achilles or something.
It made sense. And it was really fun to persevere anyway and win the Super Bowl. This year, there was so much, doubt and these question marks around people talking about, Sirianni's a bozo, Jalen Hurts is just a glorified running back, all this shit. And to just like come out and just completely dog walk the Chiefs, this dynasty team, was just so satisfying. Just to throw it in the face of all the fucking haters and losers, that part of it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
But yeah, just different.
Not even the Super Bowl points that we had against the Chiefs, but like the most ever points scored in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean,
that Washington game,
we steamrolled they ass too. Yep. 55 points.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's all, and even that game, to your point, it's like, well, Jaden Daniels is the next up and coming, you know, big guy in the NFC.
All these people, people are trying to be trendy, picking the Commanders to win that game, you know.
Tailgate Ted sucking all that dick at Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah. Just, you know, it was not hitting.
Yo, he can miss me with that shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yo, hold up. Can we do these shots of 99 bananas before they get warm and unpleasant?
Yeah.
I mean, as is customary here on the pod, or at least customary for me for the last 13 years, 15 years, when Philly teams do well, we do shots of 99 bananas. Here we go. Super Bowl champs, baby.
Go Birds, baby.
Go Birds.
Eagle up. All right, we can continue. Sorry. That started to get warm already. Yo, hold up. Funny story, right? So, I had a bottle of 99 bananas at home. And then I had two that I brought here for the Super Bowl party. And we drank the one. We drained it. The other one, somehow when we were walking Broad Street, I must have dropped it. And the cap's like kind of cracked.
Oh, shit.
So, it was kind of leaking.
So, when
I got home, I realized that. I was like, damn, my shit's leaky. So, then the next morning, I woke up and was like, all right. I got to figure out a way to, like, just put all these into the one bottle that I already had. So I started funneling it into the bottle. Yo, this shit is so sticky. And it's like maple syrup, dude. It was making loud, like, gloppy noises. It was nasty, yo. It was disgusting. I'm like, damn, I can't believe I drink this on
top shelf,
a regular, almost a regular basis.
No, it is sugary as fuck. There were a couple of beer cans on the coffee table upstairs after the Super Bowl. We came back. After they won, we just like abandoned the house. Everything was left out.
Wild. Yeah,
we came back in at whatever time the next day. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna clean a little bit. I was like trying to get these cups off of the table because the bananas. God. We must have poured,
and we were drinking a lot of Fireball that night too.
We must have
that was Syrup City. Yo.
We must have missed a bunch because every can was like I had to like smack it off. It was so glued on there with this shit.
Yeah, it's between that and the Fireball, it was a very sticky evening.
Yeah. Oh, it was sticky, that's for sure.
But now we can get back to the game. Sorry, I just wanted to get that out of the way before we waited too long.
But yeah, man, shout out Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, all the guys that people doubted all year. I mean, us included, I will say.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that struck me about it too was how, you know, this whole season we're talking a lot about how, you know, this passing game isn't quite where we want it to be and, like, the offense is good, but like it should be better. Like, you know, given all the pieces that they have on their offense and the line and their receivers and all this stuff, this should be a prolific offense. Like, they should be just boat racing people, and they're not. And what's going on? And I guess it just goes to show that it's like it is a process, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it does just take time to week by week figure out things little by little. And so it was so satisfying to see like everything just finally come together, just building up to your two biggest games of the year where they had the best offensive performances. You know, just like everything just clicked and like locked in and was firing at 100% during the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
Well, it's like Hurts said, man, after the NFC Championship game, they finally took the straitjacket off me. And I think, like Dave said last week, they were saving some of this stuff for when it really mattered. They realized, yeah, I mean, this team's talented enough, we're well-coached enough, we're disciplined enough, that it probably isn't going to take our A game to make it this far. I mean, that Rams game, it got really close, but that's a weird weather game. Also, Hurts gets hurt in the third quarter. All sorts of weird shit happens in that one. But I think, like, they realized, okay, this is the big stage. These teams are going to come at us with everything they got. We got to be ready to adjust. We either come out here with our A game, our best game plan. We got to make sure our dogs are ready. And they delivered.
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, it's a fine dance the NFL is, right? And I think I'd rather trust in any sense, right? Everyone always says defense wins championships and all that, right? They all played their ass off the last really 10, 12 weeks of the season, including playoffs, right? This defense did in terms of turnover differential. I think we were plus 12 in the playoffs. Yeah. The next team was plus 2. It's just incredible. So, yeah, as an offensive-minded team, right, you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. You're biting at the chop to go throw the ball. You want to go deep, right? That's what everyone's expecting you to do. But you got that O-line and Saquon, and the defense gives you the ball every 10 plays, statistically speaking, anyway, in the playoffs. You run the ball, you might get 10 yards, 8 yards, 7 yards, 3 yards, a little dinky-dunk, no big deal. But the fact that we had Saquon Barkley giving us those 60-yard pops consistently – maybe not in the Super Bowl, but literally every other playoff game, he had at least one or two of those just full-length field touchdowns, right? No big deal, because you go to the next team that you want to play the next day, they're going to stuff the box. Okay, they might stop him then. Then you can go over the top. Everybody expects you to throw the ball. You're down, right? You're down by 7 or 10. Oh, they're going to throw the ball now to try to get back ahead. But if you can get a lead by just running the ball and playing good defense, you don't have to show your hand like you're saying. You just sit back, relax a little bit, take it easy. But when you put that dagger in them, then you throw it to Devontae Smith. Yeah, then you go to A.J. Brown.
Yeah, which is like Jeffrey Lurie's quote said, yeah, Jalen's capable of both. He understands what it takes to win, when it takes, when he should be making which play that it takes to win. It's just, dude, all these people saying, yeah, Hurts is in a top 10 quarterback. Top, I mean, I would put him in the top 5 right now.
How could you not? Yeah, I mean, right? Honestly, in my opinion, I think, like, sure, he might not be the most statistically best quarterback in terms of yards or touchdown passes or whatever you want to put it into, but, like, the management of the game, he excels at. And he, you know, he knows how to put guys in position to win.
I mean, it's funny how, like, game manager is always kind of, you know, said as kind of a slight to quarterbacks, like, oh, like, yeah, he's just like a game manager type. But it's like, well, isn't that the whole fucking job?
Right. You're
like, isn't that like what he's supposed you're literally, to be doing? Kind
it's of? In the name. You're like, quarterbacking the offense. Yeah, like, you are literally managing the offense. You know?
And like to that, like, I think this year, especially with Kelce being gone, he's really been able to show how good he is pre-snap.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's showed a lot in this game. I mean, that deep that bomb to Devontae, like he checked into that play.
Yep.
The other big play I like to highlight is the Saquon run in the NFC Championship game. The first play, he checks into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been doing that
all season.
And he smiled.
So it's like, I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to get really nitpicky, like he could probably be a little better, like post-snap, like, you know, running through his reads or whatever. Like there's like things he's going to improve upon, but like pre-snap, like assessing a defense, like he's been really fucking
and
good.
And he's 26 years old.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. He's not.
He's one of the youngest, youngest quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl.
He does what he has to do to win games, and that's his best statistic is his win percentage. And Nick Sirianni, they both just win. They know how to play the game. What do you want to call it? Game management or whatever it is. But the stats speak for themselves.
Oh, I've been talking about Sirianni after the bye week for 3 years.
He don't need to be.
Sirianni, I think, is 4-1 after a bye week, or might be 5-1 now.
This Baldiani era has been a unmatched run right there, I will say.
Yeah, shout out to Nick Sirianni, yo.
Yeah, man, he got to shave his head every year.
Yeah, yo, just got
after the bye.
He's not much older than us. He's a total bro. I fucks with Nick Sirianni, yo. Mm-hmm. Him, you seen him on stage after the parade or not the parade, the party mm-hmm. when he was singing, "Everybody's talking all this stuff about me. Yeah. Why don't they just let me live?" He was singing some Bobby Brown, "My Prerogative," yo. But he's right. Everyone's been getting him all this business all season, us included, me included.
Yeah.
He's making all the haters eat our words, yo. And good for him. Good for him.
It just felt good to see it all come together in one big moment against, again, a evil dynasty of the Chiefs and what they want to be. You know, they had that sorry-ass sideline saying all kind of weird shit. "Hey, man, I got you. Shut the fuck up. You ain't got nobody." They all play like a bunch of pussies over there.
Yeah.
It was just a sheer dominant. You couldn't do shit.
The one play we talked about this before we started recording. The play where Mahomes is scrambling and Kelce just standing there at midfield.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that was...
What the hell was that?
That was abhorrent. Soft. I mean, even like... And people were like, "Well, he saw the flag." And it's like, okay, but like, you still try to keep your quarterback from getting
right.
Yeah. Like, what do you... Oh, my God.
Yeah, Chiefs fans were pissed about that one.
Yeah, rightfully so.
And yeah, I mean, there were a whole bunch of examples of them just not really playing for each other.
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Hopkins drops that ball, dude. You would think he'd be like, "Oh, my bad, dog." Like, he'd be walking back the sidelines like, "Oh, it's on me." Just gets up and walks away. Like, what the hell is that?
It's not even about the person that has a bad play or missed tackle getting up and apologizing to the team. Every single play that I saw in the mic'd up version of the game, even watching it too, there's always someone else there picking somebody up from the Eagles team, saying something to them, "Hey, great job, man. Dude, this team was so much more connected."
Yeah.
The Chiefs were just, you know, they dropped the ball. Nobody talks to the guy. That's it.
You're right.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, a lot of times as fans, we tend to think that the, you know, the whole like intangible stuff is kind of overblown, and it's like, well, we really only care like what you can do on the field, and all this like, you know, other stuff is just kind of fluff. But I think when you watch those mic'd up things, it kind of does put it in perspective. It's like that shit actually does matter.
Yeah, man.
Like I think you really saw like how good of a leader Saquon is.
Oh, my God. Like
he's awesome in all the clips.
Yeah, like, every time we scored or had a big play, like, he was just like, you know, keep it here, keep it down. Like, this game isn't over. Pretend like it's nothing, mm-hmm. like, after every play. And like, Zach Bond, too, was, you know, really great with everyone. Like, he was really good, like, just talking to Cooper DeJean and stuff, you know. Like, that stuff is worth something, you know.
You can't beat that connectivity like that. And that's perfect point right there. And I didn't see any of that on the Chiefs. Like, they'd miss a tackle or miss a sack or miss a catch, and they would just go back to the sideline in silence. And that mental warfare gets you like that. If you're not connected, if you're not building that culture of building each other up like that.
Well, that's my point. Sirianni's built, like, his core values, which I've made fun of him a lot, like compete, connect. I don't even remember what the hell some of these dumb things are. They obviously aren't that dumb. It's dumb dumb as I'm dismissing them to be.
Seeds are good. Going all the way back to the flower speech.
Yeah, man. That flower's looking pretty different.
That flower's in full bloom.
How about that, though? He made his first opening speech was all about planting seeds and making flowers, right? And now he's coming down Broad Street on Valentine's Day with all them roses coming out for him. Come on now. Look at that.
I'm about to be out there catching a rose. Yo, when we won in 2018.
I'm about to get him a kiss real quick.
Dude, when we won in 2018, we were on the roof of the mansion on Broad Morris. When the bus drove by, I made direct eye contact with Doug Peterson. Yeah. I'll never forget that. I was giddy like a schoolgirl, yo. We looked each other right in the eye. He see me on the roof. I looked at him. I was like, "It's Doug." And I was giddy like a schoolgirl. I was giggling. Yeah. And then Jason Kelce threw that Bud Light on the roof that Dave caught.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, man.
Not today. I'll probably cry tomorrow.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a magical day in Philadelphia tomorrow.
What do you guys make of all this shit with, like, Jason Kelce and, you know?
I think he's in a tough position.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
envy him at all.
Man.
No.
You're going to say he should play for the Birds.
I mean, obviously, it's me, so, like, I have a little bit. But, like, man, fuck your brother, honestly. He won two in a row. You won. It took you all that time to win one, right? You had the most epic parade ever, right? Philadelphia. First ever Super Bowl championship you could bring to a team. Your brother could never do that. He was able to bring the first ever ring to a city.
which is even more epic.
So because of that, he's not supposed to care that his brother lost.
His brother already has fucking, what, two, three?
Mm-mm.
Who gives a shit? Honestly, I think he can care.
I think if it was a close game and they lost, then Jason Kelce wouldn't be like, oh, this was so, like, you know, hard for me. But it's the fact that it was so demoralizing and just, like, an onslaught of a loss. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. Like, Jason Kelce, Eagles legend, you know, putting him on the Mount Rushmore, all that shit, you know, can't take any of that away from him. But, like, if I'm being honest, like, at this point, like, he's more of, like, a media personality at this point. And that's fine. Good for him. Like, he built a really great career for himself. But, like, I'm just, as an Eagles fan, I'm just not going to care that much about what he has to say about this or that. Yeah. It's just like,
I'm not really losing sleep over
it. Yeah, it is what it is.
It don't bother me at all. I just don't get it. I just didn't care.
I acknowledge it's probably tough for him, right? Because on one hand, it's like, he's friends with a lot of people on this team. A lot of these guys on this team are still family to him, right? But, I mean, conversely, his actual family lost. And there are probably guys on the Chiefs that he looks at as family, too. I mean, he's not.
No, man, I don't want to say this. That's some soft-ass shit.
First off, it isn't.
Yes, it is. I think it is. I think
it's just being a human and not being an Eagles fan with your green tinted glasses on.
First off, his wife is from the Philadelphia area, who's a Birds fan. Okay,
just his wife is from here, but his brother's.
You're feeling bad? You're telling me he felt bad for his brother, who's a back-to-back Super Bowl winning champ, right? Dating Taylor Swift.
Let's put it this way.
Come on. What? You feel bad? Oh, I feel bad. Oh, I feel bad that you only had 17 yards.
If you're in his position, you're going to say, what's your brother's name?
Travis, I guess, at this point.
No, your brother.
John.
So you're going to say, John, you lost a Super Bowl. Fuck you. I don't give a shit. You play for the Chiefs. I'm from Philly. I don't give a shit about how you feel. You're just saying, John, I don't give a shit.
Well, I'm just going to say,
I wouldn't expect Jason Kelce to be like flipping off his brother and be like, no, Travis, go Bird, baby.
Yeah, essentially what you're saying.
No,
I don't give a fuck.
But what I'm saying is, I would not care. Like, I'd be like, dude, that sucks, but like, yeah, dude, love the. I would not make a whole moment about being all about like, oh man, dude, I feel so bad. I'm so torn about this and that. Now fuck that shit, dude.
He didn't need to go public. He didn't need to go public.
That's what I'm saying.
He should have kept that quiet. Like, I'll say that much.
That's
I'm
saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a stupid thing. I think that, like, to your point, he's a media man.
Well, you know what it is.
He's hanging on to relevance to be around the area. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the deal.
He's great, but that is what it is.
My man's got a podcast. Like, we have a podcast. He's got a public face to uphold. He's doing what he can to uphold it. I'm not saying I would do that.
Here's the other thing, too. Do you think that part of this is that Jason Kelce is intimidated by the Swifties?
No, hell no. They are rabid, though.
Do you see what they were?
DJ.
Yeah, they were going after his mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, those people need to be institutionalized. I'm sorry.
They do. I'm not
like a Taylor Swift hater. I'm pretty sure we've gone over this on the podcast.
Yeah, I think you like her more than either of us.
Yeah, I don't even like. I'm not like into her music or anything. I just think she's like fine. You know,
you're blushing right now though, a little bit.
Yeah,
you said you think she's fine.
I'm fine. Not in that sense. Get the fuck out of here.
I caught that. I saw them cheeks.
I just say, I don't think there's anything wrong with her. I think people are like rabidly, like people that like hate her are kind of like weird, like to care that much about like a person who makes music for
teens. I don't care about her any more than I care about anyone or anything else that isn't an important
thing. Exactly, yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's like the people that are the fucking like psychotic fans of hers are like, fucking nuts.
No, they're lunatics.
They should be in a facility.
I mean, CJGJ was funny as hell, though.
Dude.
That post.
You should have saved that picture.
I mean,
that's.
I think I said that on this pod once.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame just for that, to be honest with you.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say what I was about to say. I think I said,
hey,
I mean, he went from banging like a thick, fine black woman. So, like, no disrespect to Taylor Swift, like, she's cute and she's pretty, but she's tall and, like, kind of a board, like, respectfully.
She lean and mean.
Yeah, like, I don't mean that disrespectfully. It just is what it is, right? So, CJGJ wasn't wrong. It was just funny that he had to just post that publicly. That's just a wild man.
I will say, though, that picture was a great clip of him having reservations.
Yeah, no, we said that during the game. Yeah. We said that when that happened.
That play, though, like I said, seeing the DJ having that reservation to be like, that was the biggest mental warfare right there. When he hit Travis Kelce in the hips.
Oh, he stands back with his arms at his like, side. Yeah.
That was watching the game 6 weeks ago. He just said something to him and got kicked out of the game. Oh, yeah,
no, you, me, and Dave called that right away. We were like, damn, look at, like, him being smart about this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I mean, shout out to him, shout out to the whole team. I mean, I guess we should probably wrap this up. I mean, we've been going on about the Eagles for been about an hour. I gotta pee like a war horse. We got the parade tomorrow.
I'm peeing right now.
I was gonna real quick last thing before I all think right. Unless y'all have anything else,
you got
last
it.
Thing is this the best Philly sports team ever?
Yeah,
I think in our lifetime, certainly.
I think, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't alive for like the 80, what, like the 80, what?
83 Sixers. Yeah. And some people have said the 70s Flyers.
Yeah, like I wasn't alive for the Broad Street Bullies. Right. Like,
this, now, when you talk about our lifetime, that's what I was trying to revert to before, right? Where like, we still have Brady and Belichick in our lifetime of watching them, unfortunately, be really good. But this is the best team we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports team history. I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would agree with that. I think the only thing that even comes moderately close is those 07, 011 Phillies.
Oh, wait, Phillies, the ones that won?
But no, here's the thing, right? Like, that 07 team, the 07 Phillies had a great offense and no pitching. The 08 team had decent pitching but a good offense. Their best teams were after that, but they didn't win. Like, the 2010 and 2011 Phillies teams were objectively better than the 07 and 08 teams, objectively better than the 08 team that won, but they didn't win.
We will, you
know. Whereas this Eagles team was objectively the best Eagles team of the last like 30 years.
We may run it back, but we will never have, in the same season, number one defense, number one rushing offense, you know, offensive player of the year. We'll never have this trifecta of just sheer dominance.
Yeah.
Plus 10 compared to anybody else? Differential in turnovers in the playoffs? Saquon Barkley, 60-plus yard. Not 20-plus. People are usually like, 20-plus yard runs. No, he had like
seven
60-plus yard runs.
Yeah.
Four of which were in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to just dismantle the quote-unquote dynasty. I mean, I guess we kind of... Now, we didn't dismantle the Patriots. We beat them. We dismantled the Chiefs. Yeah,
you know, you know what we did to the Chiefs right now? We did what, like, in the Patriot, that movie, right? When, like, the man... What's his name? Goes into,
talking about Mel Gibson?
Yeah, Mel Gibson goes to, like, that British officer's house, right? He's like, man, I love my Great Danes. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. Your dogs are great. He walks out, goes... And they all running out right to him. That's what we just did. We just took his fucking hat. We just took all his best friends from him. That's what we did.
That's all. I mean, and we won't ever do that again, though, right? Like, not to this level.
I mean, they're young. They're 26 this year. I mean, there's a potential where this team could.
It could happen again, but, I mean, it's hard to predict a team to dominate this much. Yeah. You know what I mean? To this level, right?
Yeah. Like,
we'll still be very good for years to come, but to this extent, But anyway, man, I mean, shout out to this team. Yo, we killed it.
No, we'll do that. We'll just celebrate them tomorrow.
Yeah, it was an awesome season. Parade. We'll get ready to celebrate tomorrow. And after that, I guess it's probably back to the misery of the Sixers, who we have not talked a word about, who I have a lot to say about, by the way, but we'll save that. And the Flyers, who...
We'll say that we're hungover next week, then.
Huh?
We'll say that when we're hungover next week.
And then the Flyers are on break. The Phillies, they haven't really said a whole lot yet. They'll be in full-fledged spring training mode. We'll have more Philly stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, Trevor, you can close this down. We'll figure out how to fix this fucked up audio situation.
Yeah, figure it out later. All right, that'll just about do it for us here tonight, everybody. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review of Judah Podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
I appreciate you, boy.
Go Birds.